Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Hosanna. Today's message is based on Mark 11, the first 11 verses. So let us open with prayer. O Lord Christ, as you once entered Jerusalem, enter our hearts this day afresh. As you once set your face toward death on a cross, help us this day to walk with you to victory. As the children once cried, Hosanna, to bless you, enable us to confess you openly as Lord and Savior. Grant us your presence by the power of your Spirit, that our worship and our lives may truly honor you. Everlasting God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son to take our nature to suffer death upon the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection. This through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. So now turn to your Bibles to Mark 11, starting in verse 1. And now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethany and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has set. Loose it, and bring it. And if anyone says to you, what are you doing this? The Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. So they went their way, they found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosening the colt? And they spoke to them, just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus. They threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. And so when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Today is Palm Sunday when we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem to begin Holy Week, that by Friday will result in the crucifixion and death of Jesus on the cross. But what we must consider is that to rise again, one must first fall. So even though this week does carry much sadness, it must be considered a moment of complete triumph for Jesus. One thing that many do not consider is that at this moment, Jesus was a wanted man. There was a price on his head, put there by the religious leaders who saw Jesus as a threat to their well-structured life, where they control most of the lives of the people as well, as being a very profitable life. This man Jesus would likely upset the balance they had worked out with the Roman authorities and ruin everything. And Scripture is clear, this man has to go. If we turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 11 and verse 45 through 56, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. And then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them said, being Cephas, the high priest that year, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. And then from that day on, they plotted to put Jesus to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and remained with his disciples. And then the Passover of the Jews was near. Many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What do you think, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, so they might seize him. Now this is pretty clear. Jesus, that was to die supposedly to protect the people, but in reality to protect the status and influence of the Pharisees. Passover was almost a dare. All the Jews who were able were required to attend. The big question is, would Jesus? Would he hide out in the country, or be a man and face what he already knew was to happen and fulfill God's word? Now turning now to the day selection in verses 1 through 6. And when they drew near to Jerusalem at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, go into the village. Soon as you have entered it, find a colt, which no one has set. Loose it and bring it. And if they ask you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and they will send it. And it was as Jesus commanded. Now, if all we had was the Gospel of Mark, we might think this was Jesus' first journey to Jerusalem. But the Gospel of John tells us of many previous trips. Jesus, like any devout Jewish man, went to Jerusalem for as many of the major feasts as he possibly could. Here he often stayed with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, which was an easy walk to the capital of Israel, and that was also considered to be the earthly home of God. By going, Jesus demonstrated great courage. And we continue, he sent two disciples. He carefully and deliberately sent his disciples to make arrangements for his arrival into the city. Since the time was short before his crucifixion, Jesus left nothing to chance. What many portray as coincidence was in reality God's plan coming true to make the bold and irrefutable statement of just who Jesus was. And he sends two of his disciples with clear instructions, what they will find and how they are to react. And with this, Jesus established that he would enter Jerusalem riding on a colt. He deliberately chose a young donkey, not a stallion, not a horse, and not coming on foot. This is because in that day, to come riding a colt, as opposed to a mighty war horse, was to come as a man of peace. Jesus didn't come to Jerusalem as a conquering general, but as a suffering, though triumphant, servant. In time of war, the king would ride a horse, but in time of peace, even the king would ride a donkey. Now, the rabbis of Jesus' day had several different theories regarding how the Messiah would come to Jerusalem. And based on Daniel 7:13, some thought the Messiah would come as a majestic conqueror. But based on Zechariah 9:9, some thought that the Messiah would come in a lowly and humble way riding a colt. In the days of Jesus, some rabbis reconciled these by saying the Messiah would come humbly to an unworthy Israel, but would come mightily to a worthy Israel. Now, since Israel considered itself worthy, they only looked for a triumphant, conquering Messiah. And when those near the colt saw the disciples untying it, the disciples tell them just what Jesus commanded, and they let them go. Now, some believe Jesus had prearranged this with the colt owner, and the disciples were just instructed to say it's for Jesus, if they were questioned. They did as Jesus said, and it was fine. Now, others feel that there may be a little more of a supernatural answer, but in either case, Jesus got the colt. Now the second half of this selection, beginning at verse 7, reads, "Then they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the roads. Others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem, into the temple. And then when he looked around, the hour was late. He returns to Bethany with the 12. Now, we like this slice of life from Jesus because it simply feels so right. For much of Jesus' ministry, he was despised and rejected of men. Often the adoring crowds followed him for only what they could get from him. Most of his audience rejected any kind of personal commitment to Jesus. All of this was different on this day. Many were simply caught up in the emotion, but many were also sincere. On this day, they lavished attention and honor on Jesus. In addition to the leafy branches or palm branches, they used their clothes as a saddle for Jesus and as a red carpet for the colt that he rode on. Considering the expense and value of clothing in that day, this was a generous praise. Too precious for Jesus that his feet might even glance to ground. Then those went on and said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For most of his ministry, Jesus did everything he could to discourage people from publicly celebrating him as the Messiah. But here Jesus goes out of his way to invite public praise and adoration as the Messiah. In fact, when the religious leaders of his day objected, he told them from Luke's Gospel in chapter 19:40, Jesus says, I tell you that if they should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, the statements from the crowd come from Psalm 118, verses 19 through 29. In this, their praise was scriptural. It is important that we praise God as he wants to be praised. So if God says we are to come to him with words, as he does in Hosea 14, then that's how we should come. If God said we are to come to him with song, as he does in Psalm 100, that is how we should come. If God says we are to come to him with hands raised up, as he does in Psalm 134, that is how we should come. The whole point in worship is to do what pleases God, not what pleases us. But the beautiful truth is that when we please God, we will find ourselves wonderfully pleased. What I've always found to be so special is that these people, pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem and Passover, that when the crowds would be massive, they knew the proper scriptural response. Now, we often call this event the triumphal entry, but it was a strange kind of triumph. If you spoke of Jesus' triumphal entry to a Roman, they would have laughed at you. For them, a triumphal entry was an honor granted to a Roman general who won a complete and decisive victory and had killed at least 5,000 enemy soldiers. When the general returned to Rome, they had an elaborate parade. First came the treasures captured from the enemy, then the prisoners. His armies marched by unit, and finally the general rode in a golden chariot pulled by magnificent horses. Priests burned incense in his honor, and the crowd shouted his name and praised him. The procession ended at the arena, where some of the prisoners were thrown to wild animals for the entertainment of the crowd. Now that, to them, was a triumphal entry, not a Galilean peasant sitting on a few coats set out on the pony. How does the world around us see what we teach today? For so many, the same scorn and laughter these ancient Romans felt. And what is meant by the word Hosanna? This was a joyful explanation of praise apparently specific to the major Jewish religious festivals, especially Passover and Tabernacles, in which the Hallel, the Psalms 113 through 118, or the Psalms of Ascension, was recited. The pilgrims ascended the hill to Jerusalem. They would sing a series of poems called the Ascension Psalms, originally an appeal for deliverance to save. In the Hebrew, Hosanna, these were a prayer for God to please save, as we have in Psalm 118. But it came in liturgical usage to serve as an expression of joy and praise for deliverance guaranteed or anticipated. Now, when Jesus came to Jerusalem for his final presentation of himself to Israel, the expression came readily to the lips of the Passover crowds. Now, in the Bible, the expression occurs only in counts of this one event. Matthew, Mark, and John all transliterate it. Luke does not, but appears to paraphrase it with the Greek word for glory, and see his glory in the highest in chapter 19:38. According to Matthew, the crowd that accompanied Jesus that day shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David," and as did the children later in the temple, as Mark 11:9 and John 12:13. They do not have to a son of David, but all three follow the opening cry with, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Matthew and Mark conclude the people's cries with Hosanna in the highest, apparently an echo of Psalm 148:1, which John omits. But Mark inserts, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." And John adds, "Blessed is the king of Israel." These appear to be interpretations of "he who comes in the name of the Lord," and they agree essentially with Luke's formulation of the people's words taken from Psalm 118:26. "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." Those from whose lips Hosanna rose that day seemed to have looked on Jesus as God's anointed one from the house of David, of whom the prophets had spoken, and through whom they hoped that all their Messianic expectations would be fulfilled. However misguided their particular expectations may have been, their actions underscore the theme of Gospels that Jesus is indeed the promised Son of David, through whom the redemption announced by God's prophets has come. In him, the age-old cry, "Lord, save us," has become the glad doxology, "Hosanna," which equals, "Praise God and his Messiah, we are saved." Then it says, when he looked around at all things. Jesus came as the Messiah to Jerusalem, not as a mighty general to conquer the Romans. He came first to look at the standing of the people of God and to make an inspection. And in the rest of Mark 11, we see the results of this inspection. Now, Malachi 3, 1-3 speaks prophetically of the Messiah coming to the temple in careful assessment. We see again the courage of Jesus because he didn't hide from the authorities. And John 11 makes it clear that there was a price on Jesus' head as the authorities were looking for him. Despite that threat, Jesus came into Jerusalem in the most public way possible. Where are we today if Jesus would come to us and assess our faith in Him? Now, Handel's Messiah is a wonderful and long musical history of the life of Jesus, usually played at Christmas. And Teaching the Word Ministries did a series explaining the meaning of Handel's song, and today just a glimpse of the day that we celebrate. And it starts from Isaiah 40, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. On the first day of the week in which he was crucified, the deliverer out of the heavenly Zion made his triumphal entry into earthly Zion. Jesus had entered Jerusalem on many occasions as an infant, a child, and as adult. But his final entry was before the cross was unique. In fulfillment of prophecy, he made public his claim to be Messiah. And it says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous, having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey, from Zechariah 9:9. Jesus rode into earthly Zion, the city that God had chosen as his terrestrial dwelling place, as a conquering king. Jesus no longer commanded his disciples to be quiet as he did in Matthew, but now received their worship openly. However, the praise that even his disciples shouted on this day was not because they as yet recognized him as their Savior from sin, the spiritual conqueror of prophecy. They were expecting a temporal king who would lead them into breaking the bondages of the Roman Empire. Their focus was on the earthly typical Zion, not on the heavenly antitype, the Zion outside of time and space, which when he had come. Within less than a week, the hosannas of the crowd would change to cries of crucify him. And the deliverer out of the heavenly Zion would be tried unjustly in earthly Zion, condemned to death and crucified outside its gates. But on the third day, he would rise from the dead. The Messiah would again come into earthly Zion, this time unannounced, but in far greater triumph. If you've never listened to Handel's Messiah, it is well worth it. Now we wrap this up with the last passage of this portion. As the hour was late, he went out of Bethany with the 12. Jesus did not spend the night at a palace, but went to the homes of his friends with his disciples. It was on the way past Mount of Olives, where he gave his disciples the last days we have studied in this recent days. Imagine you were one of the disciples who had just seen the entire city turn out, probably more people than you'd ever seen in one place, praising and glorifying Jesus, a clear statement of his divinity, and now they are told he must die. How can you handle the emotions as they swing from the highest to the lowest? And Jesus stops because there is much yet to tell his disciples. The time is very short. He must prepare them for what is to come. Yet we have one who will betray Christ, with a kiss even, one who would deny Jesus 3 times out of personal fear, 10 who would abandon Jesus to the cross, with only the women and John to witness his sufferings. Sufferings that he willingly faced out of his love for them and for us. Have we or will we ever betray Jesus? How about deny Jesus instead of witness for him? How about to abandon him? For these were far closer to Jesus than we ever can be until that day when Jesus welcomes us into his kingdom. So as we go through this week, think often of the great love he has for each of us, that he would do this for us. He never met us, yet he already knows us. This great love we must never forget, for we can never repay it except in living as his faithful disciples. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, for you and for me. So shout Hosanna. Come on, right now, shout it out loud. Let's hear it. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We anticipate our leaving, the joy of this moment, the sorrow of Friday that will awaken on Easter morning with his resurrection, and joy of expectation of our own resurrections. And all this in the name of God the Father, Jesus our King, our Savior, and our risen Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings to us so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. And may our Lord, whose arms were spread on the cross to embrace the whole world, help us this week to take up our cross daily and follow him. Together, now let us proclaim, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you miss a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services, and then Christ Reigns. And you can also find videos of our messages on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. To tell